This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So moving on then to our next story, it's quite an interesting one. Sabah Chief Minister Datuk Sri Shafiq Abdal has said that he wants to welcome a restorative justice program to resolve legal disputes. And this was said at a forum by the Council for Restorative Justice, Sabah.
He believes that the program will help address a few things. It reduces the burden on courts, it helps with overcrowding in prisons, saves a bit on taxes, and encourages community service. The program will take time to implement into our criminal justice system. Current laws need to be amended. Shafiq is going to consider this as a pilot project. Of course, nothing is really in the works yet. It's just all up in the air. And potentially involve those charged with petty crimes, immigration cases, and Dangerous Drug Act cases.
So it's significant, I think, that it's coming out of Sabah because Dato' Sri Shafiq basically said is that at the moment, Sabah courts encourage mediation through restorative justice. And this is the kind of justice practiced by state village chiefs and the Chinese Kapitan to resolve conflicts since the days before a proper judicial system was in place. And it's not alone in these two communities having practiced this. It is quite common, I think, in many indigenous communities, actually.
Yeah, and I think one example where they do practice this is in New Zealand, right? So they do, I guess what this process entails is that it's a system where it's an informal facilitated meeting between a victim, an offender, some support people, community representatives. So at the meeting, an offender can take responsibility for their actions, apologize to the victim, decide how to put right the harm that the offender has caused, and find ways to make sure that they don't reoffend. So in a sense, it grants the victims a chance and some amount of control over what happens to the offender.
Because I think it can very often feel as if once the case passes through the course of the legal system, right, everything after that is dependent on others. You no longer get a say.
Yeah.
It's your story, but it's being shaped by other forces. So this, as you say, you know, could potentially grant power back into the hands of the victim. But on the other hand, of course, there are some who would say it's a gentle version of punishment.
Yeah. And the word, I mean, this sounds like, to be fair, this isn't going to necessarily replace our criminal justice system.
No, rather, absolutely not.
In some ways, it will just supplement it or complement it, right? So I worry that with a suggestion like this, on certain crimes, it might actually trivialize the suffering and the experience of certain victims. And, you know, it really doesn't do much in some cases of say, well, okay, you've promised me that you won't reoffend, but that's your promise to me. You could also go on to hurt someone else.
I don't think it would end there, would it? I mean, it's not as simple as you say you're not going to hurt anybody, so okay, case closed.
I see that you feel guilty, so I know you're not going to do it again. That's not going to be a case necessarily.
And it's not going to stop there, because ultimately after that conversation between the victim and the perpetrator, it's still going to go back to a judge, right? It's still going to be in the hands of someone to determine a punishment or a sentence. So it's not as if there is no punishment. I think it just offers the victim and the offender an opportunity to have a conversation, which admittedly not everybody wants.
Yeah.
So I think it's only suited for certain crimes. I think it's also significant that it emerged out of communities that would have a probably pretty shared idea of what justice is and what justice looks like. And when you enter communities that have different cultural beliefs and different cultural backgrounds, I don't think everybody would be like, yes, this is the system we understand. I don't think it will be that simple.
And in a wider context as well, and I think Shafiq mentioned that, you know, it might apply to the Dangerous Drugs Act, for example, right? So in this case, I wonder who it is you will end up having to apologize and make reparations to.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover. So we're going to be speaking with Dr. Loganathan Krishnan, who is a lecturer from Monash University, Malaysia, and who has actually researched the use of restorative justice among Indigenous communities. And that conversation will be taking place right after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about the concept of restorative justice. As you know, Sabah is looking to launch a pilot project to see if this is something that could work for them. I want to know, though, do you want to see restorative justice? Would you like to actually sit down and have a conversation with somebody who might have, you know, done something against you Would that be helpful, you think? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over to Dr. Loganathan Krishnan, who is a lecturer from Monash University, Malaysia, who has, of course, researched the use of restorative justice among Indigenous communities here in Malaysia. Dr. Krishnan, thanks for joining us. So what does this process of restorative justice mediation look like?
So most important thing about restorative justice is the process. So what will happen is the Aboriginal people, they have a leader. It's known as Tok Batin. So the Tok Batin will discuss with his fellow community as to what is the best solution to this problem. After that, the leader of the Aboriginal community will then have a discussion with the relevant government official to convey what the community aspires, what the community wants. And what happens is they will have a dialogue session with the government official on this. So it's very much on a dialogue session.
And how are the victims and their families taken into account in this process?
See, restorative justice is where whatever injustice have been done to people, we want to give back to them what they have lost. There are many types of restorative justice, so we need to narrow it down as to restorative justice in which context. The work which I have done is on Aboriginal community. So what has happened in Aboriginal community situation is they don't have ownership over the land, and the land is a state matter. So what I was talking about is restorative justice is where we restore whatever injustice have been done to the Aboriginal community. For example, if we have taken away their land, then restorative justice here will have to return the land, because land is very important for the Aboriginal community. So when you take away the land, they have to move away, and that breaks up the family. So restorative justice takes into account the pain the community went through. So it does recognize the pain, the family members, the community, the future generation, because they are completely severed. The relationship with the land is completely severed, is it?
So why is a program like this effective or perhaps beneficial for the entire community? And would there be benefits that we could anticipate if a similar program were introduced within our justice system?
Because, you see, the law has failed. Cases which have gone to the court, it is not good enough, because it requires Aboriginal people to go to the court, to engage a lawyer, to incur cost. And, you know, litigation cost is not cheap, it is high. So it involves a lot of process. And restorative justice has worked in New Zealand. You know, it has worked in New Zealand, whereby the Maori community and the officials, the policy makers, they actually sit down and come to a solution. It's a dialogue session. And restorative justice is about the process, recognition. And the Aboriginal community, all they want is a discussion to come to a amicable solution. So the benefit for them will be that they are able to participate in the decision-making. And the government official is able to hear them out. Some countries have already started doing that. They actually have criminal justice into their criminal procedures. You know, for example, a crime has been committed. What happens under the normal criminal justice system is that person will either be imprisoned or he may have to pay a fine. So sometimes what victims want is they want more than that. They want an apology from the wrongdoer. They want to see the wrongdoer admitting his fault or her fault and saying, "I'm sorry for the pain I have caused." You know, it is part of the healing process. And some of the victims, some of the family members, the moment they get this kind of admission of fault and apology, it is part of their healing process where they feel better. Some countries have started doing this.
Is the concept of successful restorative justice dependent on being part of a tight-knit community that might have the same ideas about justice and conflict resolution as opposed to communities with many different cultural beliefs?
Not necessarily. Although restorative justice fits very well into communal-based living, but research shows that in some countries, restorative justice has been taken to further it into a different dimension. It involves a victim, and that victim, you know, has suffered pain, and the family members have suffered a pain. And in addition to putting the wrongdoer into the prison, restorative justice is actually requiring the wrongdoer to apologize and to admit fault to that respective family. So I would say that restorative justice works in multi-dimension. It is not only for communal environment, but it can also be an individual environment. Because the concept of restorative justice is to give back what was lost, you know, to give back what is due. And sometimes when a crime is committed, you feel you've been wronged, right? So just by putting that person in a prison, that doesn't heal the victim. So sometimes the victim wants something more than that, something more humane than that. Yeah. So it works in all dimensions.
Are there those certain crimes that would suit this form of justice better? You know, for example, non-violent crimes? Or is this really always going to be on a case-by-case basis?
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that, because I've come across cases where, let's say for death, yeah, whereby the victims who are in pain, they want to see the face. It's quite a tactful situation. It's quite a difficult situation because we don't want things to go out of control. But I think what the victims have in mind is they want to see for themselves who this person is, you know. And for those kind of situations, restorative justice will definitely heal the victim, because the restorative justice, whereby the wrongdoer will apologize, will say sorry, those kind of situations, it works. But whatever it is, whether we have restorative justice or not, people will still want that wrongdoer to go through the due process of the law. The restorative justice is not a replacement of the current system. Restorative justice is an addition to make things work better. Because people need to own up to what they have done. And it's not easy to own up to what have been done, because they usually blame it on circumstances.
What changes would have to be made to our current criminal justice system for this program to be effective?
Yeah, the Criminal Procedure Code will have to be amended. Any decision affecting the community requires a dialogue session, consultation with a particular community. You see, this is where you need people from all disciplines, you know. There must be some social scientists, there must be some psychologists to study criminal justice behavior and identify which types of crime victims go through a huge amount of pain and suffering. That should be the starting point in the drawing board. Once we have identified that, then we get in the lawmakers to amend the relevant provisions in the Criminal Procedure Code to introduce restorative justice in the context of this, and see how it works, and then work progressively. And we can actually compare with other countries which have already started incorporating it. From where did they start? Did they start for murder? Did they start for rape? Did they start for child molest cases? You know? We can do a comparative study with UK, with Australia, New Zealand, and see how they have done it, and we can start with that. Yep.
Dr. Krishnan, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Dr. Loganathan Krishnan, a lecturer from Monash University, Malaysia, who has researched the use of restorative justice among Indigenous communities here in Malaysia. And we're talking about this because Datuk Sri Shafi Abdal, who is, of course, Sabah Chief Minister, has said, well, you know, this is something that we might be looking into to resolve legal disputes. There might be a pilot project. And we want to hear from you. Is this something you'd be comfortable doing? Now, to be clear, what happens is, you know, a judge, I think, or someone in a position of power will decide whether or not the perpetrator is fits the criteria to go ahead with restorative justice. But what happens after that is that victims and the perpetrator sit down and hash things out.
Yep. And of course, this usually will come with help of professionals to mediate the situation.
Of course. And so is that something that you think would be helpful, you know, in a situation where somebody has done wrong against you? Is that something you would welcome? Is it something you think would help you? 7733 2900 is that number. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Belinda says, not when it's a rape case. How do you expect the victim to speak to the rapist?
Yeah, I definitely don't think this would apply to all cases of crimes, right? Because sometimes it really just isn't appropriate.
Having said that, other countries do it. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I do think that it should not. I can't begin to imagine how it would work in a murder case, right? Because then is the burden on the victim to forgive? You know, is the burden on the victim to mitigate the circumstance? And is that fair? I'm not sure. So maybe violent crimes I'm not comfortable with. But like Dr. Loganathan said, other countries do it.
Yeah.
So there is an openness elsewhere. I don't know whether it's just a matter of training us up, you know, changing our frame of mind. I'm not certain. If somebody has committed a crime against you, would you want to sit down and with them and talk to them about it and go through that process of restorative justice? Let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to talk right after the 6:30 news, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and it's 6:35 in the evening. We were speaking a little bit earlier about the concept of restorative justice. Sabah might be introducing a pilot program for that. I don't think necessarily for very serious crimes, but what it would involve is the victim sitting down with the perpetrator and actually having a talk, a moderated talk, and then I think from there also having a say somewhat in what happens after that in terms of punishment.
Yeah. If we follow the New Zealand model, then after that, the process becomes where the judge decides if the actions are enough for the crimes that, I guess, this person has committed.
So we've been asking you whether or not this is something you would welcome. You know, if it were an available option within our justice system, would you like to do that? Would you like to actually have a say in the punishment or in the rehabilitation, in a way, of a perpetrator, and also sit down and actually have that conversation? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and call 7733 2900. Siao says, I will meet the perpetrator. I will talk about double entry accounting. That should be punishment enough. Thank you for that. So that is an excellent suggestion. We'll take it forward. And we also have Lila on the line. Lila, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Okay, first of all, I really think it's a good idea, but what are the additional costs? Like in civil suits, we already pay for the lawyer and everything. So is this restorative justice, is it like mediation, a new form of arbitration, that kind of thing? Or is it free of charge? And,
I was just going to say that's a good question, actually, and I don't think they have the answer yet.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's just a question. And also another thing is, like, for violent crimes, I do think it's a good idea because, but of course, it should be optional.
Yeah.
Because certain family members, you know, especially violent, really violent crimes, they want closure. They want to know why did it happen and stuff like that. I think it could be a good thing, but then again, it can be more traumatizing, you know.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
All right, that's my opinion. Thanks
for calling, Lila. Keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.